Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And for a first time ever on our show, we have somebody that is joining us from a distance. Gretchen has agreed to interview with us from her wonderful place in Austin. We've missed her tremendously, so we're really glad to finally get her on the show again. And she is going to be talking about a book by Kevin Wilson, who also wrote The Family Thing and Perfect Little World that we featured a few months ago.
So tell us a little bit about the book.
Hi, guys. Hello from Austin. It is super fun to be here, but not there.
I know, right?
Like, making that work. So I'm going to talk about Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. I'm going to hold it up on the audio so you guys can see the cover, which is great.
But
I realize that this may not translate for the podcast. So it has this cover that looks almost like a old Dick and Jane primer, except one of the kids on the cover is on fire. So the premise of the book is that in the late 90s, a woman named Lillian is kind of in a dead-end job and a dead-end life and receives a letter from a former friend of hers, and they have a sort of weird backstory. And this letter says that this friend, Madison, has a job for her. So Lillian shows up to her house in like this sprawling mansion, basically. And Madison's husband is a U.S. senator and kind of like trying to get his career on track for the presidency. But there's a catch, which is that, well, his children, so Madison's stepchildren, sometimes spontaneously burst into flames.
Oh my gosh.
And they need someone to take care of them. Their mother has recently passed away. And so they need a caretaker, and Madison knows that Lillian could, one, use the money, and two, is also probably a safe bet for keeping the secret. So she starts to take care of these children. Bessie and Roland are their names, and sure enough, they do occasionally, like when they get angry or stressed out, will burst into fire. And it doesn't hurt them, but it does obviously cause a lot of issues.
Do their clothes incinerate?
Yeah, and so That's actually part of it, is like trying to figure out, like, they eventually get clothes made from like the firefighter materials.
Oh my gosh. Are they ever able to channel that ability in a productive or constructive way, or is it always?
Eventually. And that's part of Lillian's job, is like figuring out how to help the kids chill out and maybe like use their powers for good and not evil.
Did it feel more reactionary from the children, or like they were using it like, or did it not feel like they were using it at all? Was it just kind of a reaction?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's just a thing that happens and can sometimes like be really bad. And so like the house that they're living in has basically been like fireproofed. Like,
okay. I was going to ask if they set other people and other things on fire.
The first place my mind went was roasting s'mores, which is terrible. I think
that's Oh my gosh.
So what was Lillian's life like that she decided to like put everything to the side and come raise some like fire starter children?
Yeah, that's a great name for them. So she was like working a couple of part-time jobs and still living in the same town she grew up in. The story goes that she and Madison had been to the same private school as teens, but Lillian was there on a scholarship and Madison was there because she had a lot of money. And Lillian ends up getting kicked out of the school for a fascinating reason. I'm not going to spoil it. And so because she gets kicked out of the school, like her life doesn't take off like she thought it was going to, and kind of gets stuck. But she always feels like Madison was like this weird, they had a weird connection.
And about her part-time jobs, her like all of that, it sounds very, even though it's in the 90s, like very like millennial like rut. You know?
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, it kind of hits that in, like, a Gen X way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just sitting there, like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm working. I'm getting money. I guess that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not much. And
yeah. Not enough to change anything.
Yeah.
A little bit about the relationship that she forms with the twins.
Oh, it's so good. Because Bessie is very much, like, the child. Bessie is very good at kind of manipulating people and is very outspoken and has lots of opinions and is kind of mean to Lillian at first, but Lillian knows how to be mean back in a way that Bessie comes to respect. And Roland is kind of like go along to get along, but is also this complete sweetheart.
Does it
their dynamic is very good.
Does it seem like Bessie is that way just because of her past experiences, or is she like protecting Roland in some way? Because there's sometimes that relationship in books.
Yeah, I feel like from a sibling perspective, it's there. And because of what happened to them and their mom, mm-hmm. I think she has a lot of just pent up aggression and feelings that she doesn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
How does Lillian even grow into this role as their kind of caretaker, almost governess, or I don't know what you want to call it.
Madison literally calls her like, well, you'll be the kid's governess. And Lillian's like, am I?
Like a zookeeper, actually. Yeah.
And like Lillian has zero experience with kids, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's hilarious to like watch her figure out how to work with them. And so it does take a bit of time. Can I read you guys a paragraph?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
It's short, but this is when the kids first show up to the house and Lillian's kind of getting settled in with them. And it's from Lillian's point of view. And she says, this is how you did it, how you raised children. You built them a house that was impervious to danger, and then you gave them every single thing that they could ever want, no matter how impossible. You read to them at night. Why couldn't people figure this out?
Oh my gosh.
What a call out. Have you read any of his other works?
No, but now I want to.
Okay. And did this feel, I don't know if it's because she's like in this kind of like stopped part in her life where everything kind of ended like after high school. It feels kind of like a new adult, like coming of age story.
Yeah, definitely. And like while she's, I think she's 28 or something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like her mental state is a little bit stuck. And so this is sort of a way for her to get out of that rut.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think the kids, I don't know if you want to call it affliction or powers, maybe both. How much do you think that's a metaphor for those undesirable traits that make kids into like black sheep or shameful secrets within families?
I think quite a bit. And the things that it does with that, like part of what I liked about this book was that I never really knew what was going to happen next. And so there's a part that kind of relates to that, that like made me actually gasp while I was reading it. It was great.
Can you describe one of the scenes where one of them combusts?
Yeah. So when they show up to the house for the first time, their dad, the senator who they haven't seen in years, shows up and like says hi, and just the stress of seeing them makes them both immediately burst into flames, and like the grass around them turns black and like their clothes burn off, and Lillian's like, okay, let's get you in the shower.
Oh my gosh,
this feels like it could be a gosh, what's the name of the director who does like kind of like the like dark dry comedy?
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it like either Wes Anderson or maybe like Taika Waititi.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like if they made a movie about this, it would, it sounds like it would be like really good and like right up their alley too. Like this like weird twist on like the human condition and like finding like companionship and relationships in weird places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would make a really good movie.
Yeah, just like the scene you described, I was like, yep, that's like the scene in a dark comedy. Like, kids just like light on fire when they see their dad for the first time.
Yeah, that's like a trailer moment.
Yeah, exactly.
How long does it take for them to cool off?
It depends. They'll keep burning, like, unless something, like, unless they calm down or unless something happens to, like, stop the flames. It doesn't hurt them at all.
Yeah. Does it ever hurt anyone else? Like, is anyone else ever harmed by?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything that you think is really important to share about the novel, like coming out of it, did you just read it recently?
I did. Yeah.
Is there anything that like would be your one selling point if you were like giving this talk to somebody and you were like, this happens and that's why you should read it?
I mean, I feel like kids bursting into flames.
Yeah.
But so legitimately, one of the things that I liked about it is that it's not very long. It's like 250 pages.
Oh.
And the actual font, it feels like, is bigger than usual, like in the way of like kids inflating their essays to make it seem like they're longer.
Yes, that's funny.
All the periods are like 18 point.
So it reads very fast.
Okay.
It feels like a complete story. It's satisfying, but it's also quick.
What was the end game for Lillian when she was brought into this? Like, what were they wanting the results to be of her working with the kids?
Good question. So they just wanted her to stay there for the summer because they were trying to figure out what was going to happen with Jasper and his career. So it was sort of like, come in for the summer, we'll go from there and figure out what happens next. But because of the bond that she ends up forming with them, I don't feel like it's a spoiler to say that she ends up wanting to stay with them longer.
Yeah.
Now, haven't you ended up like nannying or something occasionally or watching other people's kids?
I did for a little bit last year, yeah.
Were you able to relate to some of her experiences at all? I mean, obviously not the bursting into flames, I hope. But.
Yeah, fortunately not. But yes, definitely, because the kid that I watched occasionally was 11, so kind of in that same age range. And sometimes it felt like we just couldn't connect to each other. Like, I didn't really, like, get what was going on with him, and he didn't really get what was going on with me. And I feel like Lillian goes through kind of the same thing.
What kind of reader would you recommend this for?
So I would recommend it to anybody who likes suburban dramas, but isn't afraid to have a bit of weirdness in their novels. Also anybody who has experience with young children, because I feel like that allegory of, like, the stress of watching kids and also having them be different than you might expect is very true to life.
I know that Kevin Wilson's kind of trademark is exploring, like, family drama on some level. Did you feel like you got a good glimpse of that in other avenues apart from just the sensational aspect of the kids being combustible?
Right. Yes. Yeah. It does have some interesting things to say about, like, Lillian and her relationship with her own mother. And Madison, her friend, has a son of her own that she kind of wants to protect from her fire stepchildren. And that's kind of interesting. It's also a lot about class as well.
Okay.
Because
that makes sense.
Lillian has a very different life. And then Madison and the senator and, like, kind of their house staff have a very different way of approaching problems because they have all of this money.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add in about the book?
It's really funny, like, in a weird way, but, like,
yeah, more so than you'd think.
I even read some reviewers, because I've been trying to do some homework before we do the podcast now and, like, read up a little bit on the books that people are reviewing. And I noticed that they were saying, like, one criticism was that the children didn't show up until you were 26% of the way through. Gotta love all those e-readers. But a lot of people were saying that that didn't really matter so much because Lillian's voice was so compelling. Like, her storytelling was really good, even if there wasn't a lot of plot driving the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes, because her friendship with Madison is such a big part of it as well, I feel like the beginning kind of sets it up for that, and her voice is really interesting and funny to read about. So it definitely hits that sweet spot of, like, wanting to read more.
You need to lay the foundation of that very complicated and confusing friendship before you add fire children to it.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, are you still doing your eating reading reviews on Instagram?
I am. Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at eating reading. And that is where I pair books and food together, books that I've read recently and food that I think would go well with them. And it is still super fun.
So I have to ask you, I mean, I know you're in Austin, which is, like, the land of delightful eating. What food would you pair with this particular book?
So I've been thinking about that, obviously. And I feel like I have two avenues I could go. One is because it's the 90s, like, the kids end up eating a lot of, like, 90s junk food, like licensed chicken nuggets and Capri Suns and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
Because Lillian's like, yeah, like, I'll just feed you whatever, it's fine. But then the other avenue is because Lillian shows up to this house and, like, there's a cook slash general sort of household manager on staff. Her name is Mary. She's great. So she ends up cooking food for Lillian, and it's, like, of such a different quality than she's had before. So she has, like, this description of, like, some homemade pizza that she eats. So I kind of want to go the fancy pizza route, maybe. That's probably what I'll end up doing for the post.
But, like, a char-grilled pizza where they put it straight in the, like, the wood oven.
Yes, exactly.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This sounds like an amazingly fun read. When I was reading other people's reviews, I was like, I'm going to have to add this to my list.
Especially knowing how short it is and how quickly it reads. That that is nice sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is. Highly recommend it.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.